So, gentlemen, it's your turn. So, ladies, open your ears. No, you're not free. You notice they didn't say anything. I asked them to keep quiet and listen to you. Okay? So, they have heard you. So, now it's their turn. So, you listen to them. So, you hear the kind of person the guys are aspiring for. All right, gentlemen. We need to know what to look for, right? Yeah? Okay. Leviticus 21, 13 to 14.
And he shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow, or one that was, or a woman who has been defined or unloved, this he shall not marry.
Okay.
For he shall take a wife to him. He shall take to wife a virgin of his own lady. To verse 14.
To verse 14. Okay. Jude 15. Read up to 15.
That he may not profane his children among his people, for I am the Lord who sanctifies.
Okay, let somebody read it in another translation. 13 to 15.
And he shall take a wife.
That's in KJV also.
Harris.
For Harris, okay. Harris.
And he shall take a wife in a virginity, a widow or a divorce, or profane or an adult. This shall he not take. For he shall speak the fighting of his own people to fight.
Okay. 15.
Neither shall he be among his people, for I the Lord is in his name.
Okay. God was talking, this directive was given to who? Priests, right? And the Bible says we are royal priests, right?
Yes.
So don't feel, oh, this one doesn't pertain to me. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a priest. So, and why did God give this instruction, verse 15? So that he does not corrupt his bloodline among his people. For I am Yahweh who sets him apart. We are a peculiar people, right? As a question that somebody asked. When people see your marriage, how different is it from the marriage of all the other people? Can people just by seeing the way you relate with your wife say, these people must be Christians? You know, when the big guys in the Sanhedrin in Acts saw the disciples and their boldness and say, okay, they noticed, they realized that this man had been with Jesus. Yeah. Does it reflect? Okay. So we shouldn't take this as a casual thing. God is serious about it. He says, so that he does not corrupt his bloodline among his people. For I am Yahweh who sets him apart. Alright? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4.
The righteous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh a shame is a witness to his bones.
Okay? A capable wife is the way this whole man puts it. A capable wife is her husband's crown. But a wife who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. Who doesn't want to marry a capable wife? Is there anybody here? You? You don't want to marry a virtuous woman? You want to, right? Okay. What about you? You do. And you? And you? Okay. You want a wife who brings you shame?
No.
You don't want? You want, let's see. What's an example of bringing shame? You are fighting, right? know what, my landlord lives next to me in the next compound. And we are good friends. So one of the times I visited him, and we were praying, and it was his turn to pray. And he was thanking God that my wife and I don't quarrel. Yeah, of course, people quarrel, they will hear. Yes. They will be disturbed. Your neighbors will be disturbed. I was really touched by that. You know, because it never occurred to me that.
Thank God for that.
Yes.
Because he made it a lifetime.
Yes. You know, I was really touched by that. So people are watching. He was thanking God for that. So, yeah, so quarreling, whether at home or in public, brings shame. Proverbs 19:14. Where's your Bible? Open your Bible now. Read Proverbs 19:14 for us. Is your Bible with you? Yeah, okay. Proverbs 31:10.
Proverbs
19:14.
Houses and wheels are inherited from humans, but the food for the prudent person from the wheel.
Okay. What wife is it? Prudent wife. Do you know what a prudent wife is? Do you know the word prudent? The meaning of the word prudent?
Accountable.
Yes. What else?
Capable.
Self-control. You know, prudent. So
discipline.
Yes. Who doesn't like a disciplined woman?
Can manage
the home, with money. She won't be tempted to go do all the ashebis that come around. Yeah. My wife doesn't do ashebi. I know, she doesn't. So that's why each time, every year, she has some savings from her housekeeping money. Every year. It's a very prudent woman. Okay, so a prudent woman. Proverbs 31:10.
Noble character,
look
and fine. She
knows how
to look.
What does noble character look like? How would you describe noble character? Somebody that says he has a noble character.
A good person is composed.
Sorry?
Someone that is composed.
Well behaved, yes. Composed, yes. Well cultured. Respectful. Sorry.
Virtuous.
Prudent. So the noble just encompasses all those nice qualities, eh? Yeah. And he says she is far more precious than jewels, than rubies. What does that say to us? That it's better to have a noble character than to have a fashionista, right? Yeah, but many of us men, you know, we like our eyes get engaged first before our minds. Yes, that's our big downfall. Yeah, when we are thinking of somebody to marry, we are thinking of somebody we can be proud.
Oh,
to be seen
with.
Yes, to be seen with. That's our big problem.
The big problem.
Yeah.
But physical attraction is better.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying it's a problem. And that's why you see God is pointing us, you and I, is pointing us to a proper direction. Right? That a noble character is far better than the fashionista. Talks about tears among swines. Says a pretty lady without self-control is like putting a gold ring in the nose of a pig. Where will it end up?
In the mud.
Yes. So God is pointing, yes, it's true. I agree with you. our eyes get engaged before our minds. So we need to be careful about that. There's nothing wrong in liking a pretty girl, but God says when it comes to looking for a wife, look beyond the pretty. Okay? Well, however you describe, however you want to define pretty. God is giving us a definition of pretty that you and I should be looking at when we go looking for a wife. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, many men struggle. There's a young man that I have been talking with. That has been his big challenge. Yeah, there's a girl he wants to marry. He likes that kind of good character and everything, but she's not that pretty, he says to me. Yeah. But anyway, he's still hanging in there, sir. he hasn't broken up with her yet. So I'm praying for him. So yeah, so it's something that us men need to be aware of. 1 Samuel 25, verse 3.
The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of the wife was Abigail. The man was a good understanding and beautiful, but the man was foolish and idle. He was a charlatan.
Okay, that's verse 3, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what did they say about Abigail?
She was
intelligent and beautiful, okay?
Understand.
Yes. Verse 14.
But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, behold, he lifted his finger out of the wilderness with him to salute our master and reign at them.
Okay.
Yet the men were very good to us and to suffer no harm. And we did not need anything when we went in. So, as long as we went to them, we were all bored, both by night, by day.
Okay, go on. Where have you reached? Your rest is
there. All the room we are with them keeping the sheep.
Okay, so somebody should read from 17 to 20.
No,
let someone else read. Yes.
17
to 20.
Now therefore, mom, this and consider that what we should do. For evil is to come in against us and against all his house, and he is so human nature that one cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made peace and took 200 daughters and 6 kings of wine and white sheets, very dressed, and 5 measures of fashion of oil, and 100 cloths of raisins, and 200 cakes of spices, and laid them on the fashion. And she said to her young men, go on before me, behold, I am after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. And as she rose from the house and came down under cover of the mountain, behold, David and his men came down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in him abide.
Okay, now skip that. Go from verse 23.
When Abigail saw David, she made haste and alighted from the rest and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, behold, and said, upon thee alone, my Lord, being thee, pray that your handmaid speak in your ears and hear the words of your handmaid. Let not my Lord regard this ill natured fellow, Nabal, for as his name is, so he is. Nabal is his name, and holy is his king. Brayo and did not see the young man of my Lord, whom you sent. Now, then, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, seeing the Lord has restrained you from glory and from taking vengeance with your own self, now against your enemies and those who seek to do evil, my Lord be at Nava. Verse 27. And now let this present, which your servants have brought to my Lord, be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Pray for the fresh passage of your army, for the Lord may certainly take my Lord as a sure house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of your heart, and evil shall not be found in you so long, in you so long as you live.
Okay. What do we see? What qualities do we see Abigail displaying here? Gentlemen, that you like? Wisdom, okay? What else?
Understanding.
What else?
Protecting his home.
She was protecting her home. What else? She was humble, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bow down to the ground. Remember, she's the wife of a wealthy man.
Yes.
Yeah, wife of a multimillionaire. Sincerity. Bow down and very light.
You know, he did not try to cover up the
make excuses.
Her husband
and you know,
evil things.
Yeah.
He was so sincere.
She confessed, she apologized. Wouldn't you like to have such a wife?
Yes, sir.
Yes. So, to note that down, we have in the listers, what did we see? What quality did we see? Yes. What quality did we see in the list? Virgin, what else? Virgin, well, say somebody from your own people. What does that mean? I've heard of Christians marrying non-Christians. Yes, it's happening more and more now. More and more. Yes. So if you're not a Christian, you won't know if she is. Yeah, because you may just be because the two of you come to church. If you are not a Christian, you won't know, in your conversations, you won't know whether she's a Christian or not. Have you? Yeah. You may just think, oh, I see her in church. Oh, she sings in choir. Yeah. Well, she's an usher.
That one is too common.
Yes.
And sir, what I'm hearing is she should be someone who can be proud of. Someone who can be proud of.
What else is better than Christian?
Okay,
what else is better than Christian?
What else is better than Christian? Because as the going to call someone
that's what it means to be a Christian.
We didn't say Christian.
Yes. They have that moral quality.
Yes.
Yet they are not that Christian.
Yes.
Then a Christian.
Yes.
So how will you?
That's why I said it takes a Christian to know a Christian. Because there are very upright Muslims.
Really?
There are very upright Buddhists.
Yes.
They are very upright
atheists.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, they don't even know God, but they
are. God is very clear when he says that in Leviticus, among your own people,
in your church,
if possible, in your church, if possible in your church, but provided the person is a Christian, let's not worry about denomination. But if you find the person in your church, by all means, go ahead. Yes, it makes it easier. Yes, up to you. Yes. It makes it easier for accountability. Okay?
Yeah, because
yes, yes. Because you can go and ask your pastor, I'm interested in that girl. What do you know? What do you think about her? He can do investigation for you to help you, okay? But this is somebody from somewhere else that you don't know anybody to go and ask. Yeah. Okay, so let's not forget that. Yes, thank you for that observation. There are very nice, morally upright people out there. Let's not
Well, without Christ.
Because without Christ,
try.
One day, push will start to show. And suddenly you realize that that moral goodness alone cannot take you the whole distance. Alright? Okay, what other quality did we see in Proverbs 12:4? I hope we are noting them down in that space.
Yes, sir.
Okay, what other quality did we see in Proverbs chapter 12:4? Thank you. Prudent lady. Okay, prudent in her words, prudent in her behavior, prudent in her management of resources, prudent. Okay, 19 verse 14. Yes, Proverbs 19. What qualities did we see there? Virtuous, okay? Virtuous, godly person, isn't it? Yeah. 31 verse 10. Proverbs. Righteousness, okay? So, capable wife, virtuous wife, Bible says, is more desirable than jewels, than rubies. Alright? So, and then 1 Samuel 25, we saw what qualities in Abigail. She was wise, understanding, humble. Okay? Yes. Okay? She protected her husband, protected her family. Okay? Let's look at Proverbs 31 verse 30 and address that that question about physical attraction. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. You know what fleeting means, right? Yeah, beauty is temporary. And so these days you see all the advancements in science, beauty therapy. Just to try to push the aging process back. Surgery, yes.
I have a concern.
Okay, go ahead.
My father told me that when he was looking for a doctor, one of the people he was looking for was looking for a human right. He did not have a steady.
Okay. Did he find?
One of the things that happened is that you see, sometimes being in my wife is
not something like that. But you know, that's a different matter altogether because you know what's happening. Like when you look at the men who divorce their wives, more often than not, they marry girls 10, 20 years younger than them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, check, look around.
Okay,
men who divorce their wives end up marrying.
Yeah.
Yes, they don't marry somebody their age. There is usually somebody younger. What does that tell you?
They are looking for physical.
Yes. Because after a while, the problem is in the heart. Yes. So I agree with you, but what does the Bible say?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's true. I'm not disputing what your father
said. You are going to come to practical.
Yes. When we come to practical, what are we going to be practicing? Is it what my father said? Is it what my culture says, or what God says?
No, I'm not disputing what the scripture says. You know, the scripture was talking about Rachel. That Rachel, Abigail said she's poor.
She said yes, but apart from that, what else?
She has other qualities.
Qualities. So, if you find them, if you find somebody who is pretty who has these other qualities, praise the Lord. But the point we are making, as we see here over and over, the Bible is saying the virgin, somebody from your own people, meaning a Christian, somebody of noble character. Okay, somebody like we saw Abigail is not a, was it her beauty that saved her family?
No.
Yeah, it was her wisdom, her understanding, her humility. Okay, so yes, pretty girl, any man would like a pretty girl any day, but God is saying in Proverbs 31 verse 30, charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting. An accident can happen. Yes. An accident can happen. There's a young girl. You know? An accident can happen and all that beauty. Yeah, what do you do?
It's true now.
So if your primary reason for marrying this person was the physical attraction, you see the trouble you are in there, right? So that's why it's better to listen to God. And then listen to anyone else. Okay? Excellent. So let's not forget character is very important. A Christian, we agreed on what we mean by Christian, this?
Yeah.
Not just that the person goes to church, not just that the person sings Christian songs. You know, that the person is a Christian who has prayed. If you ask her, tell me when you became a Christian, and she won't tell you, I was born a Christian. You know, I have been a Christian since from back. You know, there's nothing like that, right?
Yeah.
So that she can tell you that on so-so-so day, so-so-so time, I prayed and invited Jesus into my life, right? Okay. And you can see that she's making efforts. Sorry.
Thank you, sir.
That she's making efforts to grow in her relationship with God and to obey Jesus. All right. So we come to the. So that is our shopping list, right? And like we said to the ladies, there are certain qualities we need to have to be able to attract that kind of girl, isn't it? Excellent. So let's look at how to become the man who will attract this godly woman. Genesis 39 verses 6 to 20. We know the story, right? Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Okay, would you read verses 6 to 10, and you will read 11 to 14, and you will read 15 to the end. Yeah. Okay, Genesis 39, 6 to 20.
So he left in the village gate, everything he had, he buried himself. He did not concern himself with anything except with his gate. Now, Joseph was well with his mother, and after a while, his mother's wife took him to the table and said, come to bed with me, for they refused. You think that he told her, my master did not concern himself with anything he has. Everything he has included to my gate. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me to take to his wife. How then could I do such a great thing and see the gate closed? And those who spoke to me day after day, they refused to go to bed with her, or even give, or even to bed with her.
One day, the wife went to the house and
to attend to duty. A lot of the house in servants pray or just help. She caught me by school and said, what is the same? But he left his clothes in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that she had left me in her hand and ran out of the house, all her house was servants. Look, she said to me, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make us of us. He came in here to speak to me, but I didn't. He left his clothes beside me and ran out of the house. And his principal, when he answered, lifted up the voice and cried, that he left his garments with his clothes and brought him up. And she laid off his garments by her until his nose came off. And she spoke unto him according to this word, saying, the evil servant did that as God's was working me and did not me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when it mattered as the word of his wife, which she spoke unto him, saying, after this manner he died, servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Jacob master took him and took him into the prison. He placed him where the king did not return, and he was there in the prison.
Okay. Ladies, what do you like about Joseph?
Oh man.
Self-control.
Discipline.
Do you like that in your husband?
Oh God, I love it.
Gentlemen. What do you think? It's difficult, as you can see with Joseph. Day after day, this woman was pestering him, tempting him. And day after day, he said no. If you are not self-controlled as a single person, you cannot be self-controlled as a
person.
It's worse, right? Yes. Yeah. So if you are not becoming now what you need to help you as a married person, it will be tough.
Yes.
Self-control is a critical quality that young men should have. Okay, wait, we'll ask the question now. Okay? So we are looking at how to become that man that will attract the kind of girl we want to marry. You saw their response when I asked. Yes. So it's important. Alright, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 32. Okay. Two verses each. Yeah, Ephesians 5. Read 25 to 26. You read 27 and 28. 29 and 30. 31 and 32.
Husband, love the wife just as Christ was worshipped, and he will stay for the world. Make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the world.
And present herself to himself as the obedient servant, without sin or wrinkle or any other blemish, was holy and blameless. In this way, husband also loves their wife as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as a loved one. For we are never born his body of his flesh and his bones.
Okay? To one and that's true. No,
really, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall be father and mother and the joint wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This history is a profound one, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and sacrifice the wife, see that she respects her.
Okay. What qualities do you see there that will need to be the husband that God wants us to be?
Lovable.
Lovable, but no, not lovable. loving. Okay? Yeah, it's different. Lovable and loving. Loving makes you lovable. Okay? What else? Selflessness. That's a big word though. What does selflessness look like?
Putting the interest of your wife
ahead of your own, right? Okay, let's be a little practical now. Here you are, you have 20,000 naira, okay? To fix your car needs, say, two tires. And your wife, her gas cooker has been. She's having issues. She's been telling you about the gas cooker for ages. Well, no, it's her gas cooker. Because just as your car is a tool for you, a vital tool, that's how the gas cooker is a vital tool for her. Yes. Okay. So, because you see that the reason I say car, because you don't see, if you see it as hour, you treat it, most men don't see those things as relevant. Yeah. So, selfless. Do you go fix your car or fix the gas cooker?
Yeah, I'll try the question.
We did the gas cooker.
Unless I don't know.
Yeah, that's electrician.
The gas cooker is going to save the
car.
Let's say the car and her head or her clothes.
Okay.
Yes, okay. I think that's better. Because it will heat.
Thank you. Okay. You need to fix your car, and you need to go to the salon.
Thank you.
It drives it to work.
You don't take that.
You don't take that.
Your car.
Your car.